with all starting from the same letter. God was just pouring it out to me like this week. So I'm going to give you what he gave me. Repentance is the road to refreshment. Rest. How many of you guys are needing rest? You need to be refreshed. You know, we from time to time can feel pretty tired and wore out. And maybe most importantly, repentance is the road to redemption, to being truly redeemed. Repentance is the road to restoration. Repentance is the road to reconciliation. And it's also, repentance is the road to relationship. You know, relationship with God and also relationship with our fellow man. You know, I think of the cross whenever I think about all of these, and especially whenever I'm thinking about relationships. You notice that the cross has two beams to it. You know, as we look here at the front of the pulpit, you've got the upright beam and then you've got the horizontal beam. And so I want you to, when you look at that cross, to remember this cross, it represents something. It represents that God made the way for us to be reconciled vertically in relationship to God. But the way that we find that, the way that we can get on the road to that is truly through repentance. We can't get there until we are willing to repent and be humble. But you notice on that crossbar, I want you to think about that representing our relationship to other people. Okay, that's our horizontal relationships. Repentance also has a place in all of that. So as you think about that, you've got your vertical relationship with God, and you've got your horizontal relationship to other individuals. If you remember what Jesus said, that all the commands, you know, in the Old Testament, all the law and the prophets is summed up in two great commands. Can anybody tell me what those are? Yes. To love the Lord with all of your everything, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Think about the cross when you think about that. It'll help you remember what this is really all about. And I can tell you, repentance plays an absolutely crucial role in every bit of this. I think that the church is downcast and fallen across the United States because we literally have forgotten what repentance means. We have forgotten to humble ourselves before a holy God. God's not playing games. I can tell you that the things that he's called us to do are things we cannot do on our own. We must have God. He's called us to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things which he has commanded us. And then he leaves us with that last part of that statement, and this reminds us we can't do it on our own. Lo, I am with you even to the end of the age. He is with us. So why are we not seeing his power being poured out like we would love to? I think it boils down to being in right relationship with him ourselves and then being in a place where we can pray. And so I think we can look at that list, and how many of us can look at that list and say, yeah, I want to get to every one of those, right? Wouldn't you want to be in the place of rest and refreshment and redemption and restoration and reconciliation and good relationships, right? Both with God and with people all around us. We want to be there. These are all very appealing and attractive things. So we like the places that it leads. But I wonder if we really understand the word repentance and what that really means. And so we're going to kind of break that down a little bit. Because sometimes, you know, we can think we kind of understand something, but maybe we need to go a little deeper in our understanding of it so it really sinks in and it becomes part of who we are. The word that's being used there is metanoeo, and it's a verb, and it's in a lot of different variations of that same verb because of tense and gender and things of that nature, but it still winds up being back to the same root word, and that root word means to repent, to change one's mind, to be converted. Okay, so this is about a change of direction. This isn't just about, you notice it doesn't have anything in there about just saying simply to apologize or to wish I hadn't done it or to wish I hadn't got caught. None of those things are part of that. It has to do with really having a change of mind, a change of heart. And so as we look at that, you know, that's the literal definition. I want you to think about how in Matthew, how John the Baptist started his ministry, and also how Jesus literally started his ministry with these words. So let's look at John the Baptist first. He was the forerunner. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." So that word is metanoeo. He's saying, have a change of heart. Have a change of mind, because the kingdom of God is at hand. And so now Jesus comes on the scene by chapter 4 of Matthew, and he comes forward with the exact same words, reiterated by the Master himself. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, read it with me, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." So I want you to hear his words. He's saying, have a change of mind, because I'm here. And this is how you follow me. He you know, as we kind of break that thought down about repentance, because we see it's absolutely essential. The Master himself preached it first, that we couldn't even be saved until we're willing to repent. And we see that it has to do with having a change of heart. So now we're gonna look at it just a little bit deeper. There's some things that this includes, okay? And I think these may be areas that we get stuck on and we forget what the true meaning of the word is. We look at these things as being what it actually is. Well, it may include these things, but it's not just merely these things. So let's take a look at them. First of all, convictions involved in repentance. But that's not all it is. Okay? That's not all it is. The word conviction talks about that feeling of guilt that we get that brings us to the place of repentance. Okay? I can't really repent until I know I feel compelled that I've done something wrong. So that conviction is part of it, but we don't stop there. The next part of it is confession. And literally the word confess, as we see in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Confession is a part of it, but we look at the rest of the letter of 1 John, the rest of that letter is all about truly having repentance in our hearts. So the confession is part of it. It's agreeing with God that what he is pointing out in my life is sin. I agree with him that it is. So I feel convicted, and then I agree with him. But I can't stop there. I can't stop there. I got to continue in this to get to the full level of repentance that God's looking for. The next part may be apology, right? So you come to conviction, and then you agree, and then you're sorry. And so you say you're sorry, okay? So this is part of it, but we don't stop there. You see, involved in repentance, we're also going to see that there can be a plea for mercy as well. But we can't just stop there. I gave you a scripture reference there of Luke chapter 16, verse 24, and that's where the rich man is in the place of torment, and he's begging to be let out. He's pleading for mercy, but you see, he really didn't repent when he had a chance. He didn't have that change of mind or that change of heart. So even a plea for mercy, we can't just stop there. How about good intentions? I can have a really good intention that all of these other things have happened and I'm not going to do it again. That good intention isn't worth much either, is it? Just by itself. We can't stop there. In fact, there's a pretty good saying on that that kind of circulates around, you know, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. I can have a lot of good intentions. Repentance is a complete change of mind, a complete turning away from, turning around. And some may say, well, you know, I know that I'm an imperfect vessel, and so I find it hard to believe that I can do that perfectly. I will agree, we may have to repent again, even on the same item. But I can tell you the intention of our heart needs to be to have a complete change of mind. Otherwise, it's not really a repentance. If I just tell God, hey, you know I did that bad thing, but I'm sure you understand that's just the way I am. That is not repentance. And you're not going to find a closer relationship with God through that. Repentance is a complete commitment in your heart to change and to turn away from. Okay? And I'll tell you what happens whenever we come to that point that we can truly repent. Then we have a restored relationship with God, and we have the power of God to actually be able to come closer to following through. And that's where, if we don't take that step of really calling it what it is and really owning it and really desiring to have that change of heart, that change of mind, will never find the power to overcome. You know, it's just like with illicit drug use or something like that. You can't make another person quit an addiction or something of that nature. They have to come to a place to have a change of mind. They have to come to that place of a change of heart. God is not going to force us either. But I can tell you, when we come to the place of true brokenness and repentance and humility before God, He will come to us. And He will give us power like we didn't know was possible. And I think we'll see that power go out from there. In fact, I'll just kind of put this in a little bit of a practical application. We're just going to go to anybody that has been a parent of any at any time, at any point in you being a parent, and you've noticed that your child has left a mess somewhere. Okay? Have you ever experienced that? Do your children or grandchildren or anybody ever leave a mess somewhere in your house? And you point it out to them? And let's just say that they have conviction over it. You can see their eyes drop and they feel pretty bad about it. And you can tell that they feel bad about it, but then they walk away and they go outside and shoot some baskets. Did they repent? You know, because you still got the mess, don't you? All right, so let's say that they had the conviction, but they turn around to you and they say, "Mom or Dad, I agree with you 100%. My room is a huge mess." But they walk out back outside and they shoot some baskets and they just continue to play basketball. Did they repent? Is that repentance? No, you still got a mess, don't you? Well, then they're convicted and they confess, they agree with you, and then they apologize. Let's say that they come to you and they say, "You know, Mom, Dad, I'm really, really, really sorry that my room is such a mess." But they walk away from you and they go back outside and they continue to shoot baskets. Did they ever really, truly repent? No, because the situation hasn't changed a bit, has it? Well, how about they're convicted, they confess, they have that agreement, they apologize, and they plead for mercy. "Oh, Mom, Dad, please, please don't ground me. I'm really convicted. I agree with you 100%, and I'm so sorry. Please don't ground me." But they turn their back on you, and they walk out the front door, and you hear the basketball dribbling again. Have they really, truly repented? You're still not there. How about if they go through all those stages? Conviction, confession, apology, pleading for mercy. "Oh, please, please, don't punish me. I will never let it happen again." And then they walk to the door, and the next thing you hear is the basketball dribbling and shooting baskets again. The room's still a mess. All we've seen are those first stages, but never really a true repentance. How do you think God feels? I think we do this to Him sometimes too, don't we? I can tell you, if you're feeling convicted about something, and you've agreed with God that it really is a sin, He's not satisfied until you actually have a change of mind. And you put some legs, some action to it. And then I think He'll come to your aid and He'll really help you. I've seen it with people trying to be freed from addictions. I've seen it with broken relationships. I've seen it in my own life and just my relationship with the Lord and a conviction over not seeking Him like I should in the Bible and in daily devotion. I've seen it in my own life whenever I felt convicted that I did not have a deep enough burden for the lost around me. I tried to deny it. I tried to ignore it. I even had some good intentions about it, but until I got down on my knees and really felt just owned it and said, "God, I don't love the lost like I should. Help me." God has a way of coming to your aid then. And He'll give you a deeper desire. And it gives you the strength to be able to continue on with Him. So I really want us to own our situation. In fact, Jesus talks about this just a little bit. The next slide, we're going to look at this. This is the next two slides have to do with a little story that Jesus told about this, and I love the way He does it. He really brings it straight home for us. He says, "But what do you think? A man has two sons. And he came to the first and said, 'Son, go work today in my vineyard.' He answered and said, I will not, but afterward he regretted it and went. And then he came to the second and said, likewise, and he answered and said, I go, sir, but he did not go. Which of these two did the will of his father? They said to him, the first. And Jesus said to them, assuredly I say to you that tax collectors and harlots will enter the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him, but tax collectors and harlots believed him, and when you saw it, you did not afterward relent and believe him. Guys, whenever we look at that scripture, we can see that it's the person who really does the will of God who shows true repentance. And so whatever it is that God may be laying on our hearts this morning, I'm just going to tell you, there's only one real true response, and that's to let him help us have that change of mind, that change of heart, and then start doing the works of repentance. Start doing the works that are befitting of repentance. It talks about that in the book of Acts, in the latter part of it, and we're going to talk about this in coming weeks, but that's where Paul says that was the message he preached, that they needed to repent, believe, and to do the works that were befitting of repentance, that showed that they had truly had a change of mind. I'm going to end with one final scripture, and this is not on your sheet, so I want you to open up to John chapter 21. Everybody knows that knows anything about the Gospels. We know about the disciple Peter, right? Peter was a fun guy because he was a man of action. We like Peter. Peter was the one who, he got out of the boat, you know? He was the one that walked on the water. He was the one that would always give an answer to the questions that Jesus would ask. And a lot of times he got rebuked for him, but boy, he'd still jump out there. I love Peter. You know, he really had a heart for the Lord. But we also remember Peter at the end of Jesus' life, whenever he was at his trial. We remember Peter did something that wasn't so good. Y'all remember what he did? Somebody asked him, and they said, hey, you're with him, right? You're one of them. You remember what Peter said? Never knew him. Denied him. How many times did he do that? Three times, right? We see, for Peter to be able to continue on with Jesus, he was going to have to repent of that. He was going to have to repent of that. And his loving Savior came to him in the 21st chapter of John, right before he went back to heaven. And we're going to pick it up at verse 15. He showed up while Peter had gone back to fishing. I mean, Peter just was doing what Peter knew to do. But he still needed to have this encounter with Jesus. Jesus fixed him breakfast and said, I know you guys didn't catch nothing, but if you cast on the other side of the boat, you'll get something. And he said, here, come on in and have a bite to eat. So Peter goes. In fact, he didn't even wait for the rest of the boat. He swam to shore. And we pick it up in verse 15. And when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, feed my lambs. You see, Jesus has given Peter a chance to repent here, and he's telling him what that repentance is going to look like. If you really are sorry, then you'll do what I'm telling you to do. If you really are sorry, you'll have my heart, and you will tend to my sheep, feed my lambs. The next one, verse 16, and he said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. Feed my lambs. Tend my sheep. He's saying, if you're really sorry, you really mean it, you'll do what I say. Then we pick it up in verse 17. And he said to him a third time. How many times did Peter deny Jesus? Three times. How many times does Jesus give him a chance to truly repent? Three times. And on his third time, he says, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished, But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. He spoke this, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." Guys, there's a lot I could teach out of that little area of Scripture, but I'm going to focus in on one thing. If you say you love Jesus, if you say you're repentant, then you need to do what he says. You need to just follow him. He's told us what we need to do, and our calling's the same as Peter's. So I'm going to ask you something. We've got church history to help us answer this question. Did Peter really repent? Did he really follow Jesus? He did. He showed it. In fact, we've got two letters in the New Testament because of it. In fact, we know that Peter influenced at least one of the Gospels as well. What we know is Peter followed Jesus. He died on a cross. He gave his life for the faith. He was willing. Now, many of us here may say, "Yeah, I've repented. I've done that." I think Jesus is asking us the same question. Do you love me? And if you say yes, then he's saying, "Tend to my lambs. Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep." And what that looks like in each one of our lives, I don't know, but whatever sin is getting in your way, you need to get it out. Every one of us just needs to do that. We can't do it on our own. But I'll tell you, the very first step is to truly repent to God. Have a change of mind. Realize he's not okay with it. It's breaking my relationship with him. It's putting a barrier between me and God, and I need it gone. Do you want the power of God? It comes with that first step, having the change of mind. So we're going to give everybody an opportunity here this morning. And the altar's open. A lot of people will say, "Well, I can pray right where I'm at. And as long as God's not leading you to come forward, I suppose you can probably do that." But if God's leading you to come forward, you're denying God if you don't. I actually found that out in my own life. When God leads me to take that trip down to the altar and pray, I'm denying him if I don't do that. That's disobedience. How can I say I truly repent and yet I'm disobeying the leading of the Lord's Holy Spirit in my life? So I'm just praying today, no matter what God says, you just follow him. You just do it. He'll be there. He'll have his full power to do it then. So let me pray over us, and then we're going to have a song of invitation here today. Dear Father, I know the very first thing we've got to do is just literally lay all of our sin up on the altar and say, "Here it is, Lord, please forgive me. I need Jesus. I need Jesus as my Lord. I need Jesus to be my Savior. I want to surrender to him today." That's where we really become a Christian, is whenever we have a change of mind and we do that. I'm not going to be the boss of my life anymore. You are, Lord Jesus. Once we've taken that step, there's still junk can get in our way. Don't take our salvation away from us, but it can sure hurt our relationship with you to where we can't hear from you like we want to. We can't have the power of God to do what you've called us to do, and we can sure get our life in a mess. I think the answer's still the same. Just come back, lay it on the altar. Say, "Lord, forgive me. I've had a change of mind. Now help me. Help me to do what you've called me to do." Sometimes we can be about a whole lot of good things, but it ain't the best thing. And we can find ourselves in disobedience. Disobedience and disbelief is sin. So Lord, help us to repent of any known sin in our lives today. Let us have the true power of God, because we want to get to those other areas of life. Help us, Lord, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand.
Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus. Speak that my soul may hear. Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus, calm every doubt and fear. Speak to my heart, oh, speak to my heart. Speak to my heart, I pray. Yielded and still, seeking thy will, oh, speak to my heart today. Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus, purge me from every sin. Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus, help me the lost to win. Speak to my heart, oh, speak to my heart. Speak to my heart, I pray. Yielded and still, seeking thy will, oh, speak to my heart today. Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus, it is no longer mine. Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus, I would be wholly thine. Speak to my heart, oh, speak to my heart. Speak to my heart, I pray. Yielded and still, seeking thy will, oh, speak to my heart today. Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus, speak that my soul may hear. Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus, calm every doubt and fear. Speak to my heart, oh, speak to my heart. Speak to my heart, I pray. Yielded and still, seeking thy will, oh, speak to my heart today. Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus, purge me from every sin. Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus, help me the lost to win. Speak to my heart, oh, speak to my heart. Speak to my heart, I pray. Yielded and still, seeking thy will, oh, speak to my heart today.
I'll tell you something. It's really awesome about God. Doesn't matter where you've been or where you're coming from, God accepts you when you come to the foot of the cross. But I'm also going to tell you something else about God. And if you're in the middle of something that you don't want to give up, you're probably not going to like hearing this. But God's relentless. He's not going to give in. He don't change for us. If He's pointed out something in your life and He's put His finger on it, He ain't going to give in until you give it up. And if you really want to have a ruined life, an unproductive life, then you hang on to it, because God won't stop. He's not going to change. I don't know about any of the rest of you guys, but I've tried it before. He's pointed out things in my life before, and I thought, I'm going to ignore Him there, and I'm going to keep trying to go forward. I'm going to go around Him. And God's too big. You can't go around Him. In fact, you just will not progress from that point on until you finally deal with it. If it's ruining a relationship in your life, so be it. He's not going to change. If it's ruining your life, I'll tell you what, I think God is so serious about it. Sometimes I think people die because of things they won't give up. He says so in 1 John. Guys, I think we really need to just give it to Him. If He's pointed out something in your life that you need to give up, just trust Him. But just saying, I'm sorry that I won't give up that habit or that addiction or whatever, that unholy way of living, that those unholy thoughts, whatever it is, guys, just saying it ain't enough. You got to give it to Him and let Him empower you to do something about it. I can tell you, there ain't nothing too strong to hold you either. God's more powerful than everything. It ain't going to kill you to give it up. But it might kill you to not give it up. You really need to give it to God. Let Him take care of it. Let me pray over you one more time, and then we'll see about birthdays. Dear Father, I just pray for this congregation. I believe, standing here today, that there are people in this room right now that you're dealing with. I feel it. You're putting your finger on certain places in our lives, and you're saying, yeah, that's it. So, Lord, I pray that we'll surrender that to you. We'll have a change of mind today. It may feel like it's going to kill us to give it up, but what I know for sure is you'll give us the power. You don't ask us to do something that you won't help us with if we'll just agree with you and go forward with you. You'll be there with us. And Lord, I want to see this church reach this community as well. That's your heart. Make disciples of all nations. That includes Gadet, Missouri. So I pray, Lord, we will be actively reaching out as you pour your Spirit out on this place. God, do something, I pray. Help us to get in a place where you can use us. And I pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah, we have any birthday.